KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the trade war growing along with concerns. Prices could soar for businesses and consumers on goods flowing in and out of the U.S. ABC's Selena Wang at the White House, where President Trump is defending his tariff policy.
Just a reminder, a tariff is a tax, and the CEOs of huge companies, think Walmart, Delta Airlines, they're saying that people are thinking like, you know what? I don't need to go on that trip, or I don't need to buy that jacket. Overall, people are worried about being able to pay their bills. They're worried about losing their jobs. And so when people don't know what's going to happen next, they decide to pump the brakes on spending.
Two U.S. officials familiar with the matter tell ABC News as early as tomorrow, President Trump could invoke the Alien Enemies Act as part of efforts to carry out mass deportations. That act was last used during World War II to detain Japanese Americans. The U.S. apologized decades later and paid restitution. Mortgage rates edging higher this week on a home loan. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. If a state biennial budget is not passed by July 1st, the Green Bay Area Public School District will be in a pickle with about $10 to $12 million in budget shortfalls. Superintendent Vicki Bayer.
We truly are doing the best we can. And our goal is, when we're reducing our budget, to have the least amount of negative impact on our children. At some point, the state of Wisconsin has to realize we can't keep cutting without hurting our children. Now that's out of my hands. That's Madison.
Declining enrollment, increased student needs, and state funding that has not kept up with inflation are factors in the district's budget status. It's not officially spring yet, but spring wildfire season is here, with much of the state currently listed as having high fire danger. The Wisconsin DNR is asking the public to check the fire danger before doing any outdoor burning activities. The main cause of wildfires this time of year is burning brush and leaf piles. Debris burning is the number one cause of wildfires in our state. Nearly 170 wildfires have burned over 450 acres already this year, according to the DNR. That's four times more than the typical year at this time. The Winnebago County League of Women Voters holds a candidates forum for several races tonight in Oshkosh City Hall. Candidates for Oshkosh Common Council, Carl Bulow, Paul Esslinger, Brad Sponauer, and Joe Stevenson will field questions at 6. Candidates for the Oshkosh Area School District Board of Education, Molly Smiltnick, Michael Ford, and Jacob Wolf appear at 7, and John DeMel, the Winnebago County Executive, and his challenger, Gordon Hintz, will discuss issues at 8. The event will also be streamed on the Oshkosh Media website. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
The Badgers advance in the tournament. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers with a win today over Northwestern, 70-63 in the Big Ten tournament. The Badgers now advance to play UCLA tomorrow. John Tanjay after the game about what were some of the discussions at halftime.
We were just real with each other at halftime. We were like, hey, you know what? We made a couple of mistakes, but it's not going to be perfect. We got to rile together. We talked over scenarios and we talked over game plan that we wanted to adjust. And, you know, second half, and I really think we executed.
Tanjay with 18 points, 7 rebounds. Marquette with a win today, 89-87 at Madison Square Garden over Xavier. The Golden Eagles advance in the Big East tournament. NBA, a big game for the Bucks as they host the Lakers, but LeBron James has returned to L.A. to get more treatments for a left groin injury. He will not be playing tonight. NFL running back A.J. Dillon excited to be joining Philly in free agency, tweeting, "Fly, Eagles, fly." Dillon leaving the Packers for a one-year deal with the Eagles. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny and very spring-like today, with highs reaching the upper 50s. We'll become mostly cloudy tonight, with a chance of some storms tomorrow morning. During the day, it'll be windy and warm, with highs reaching the upper 60s. Then at night, strong to severe storms roll through. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 57.
Draft Day is on the way, and Stillmake Brewing has crafted Green Bay's original draft beer, a honey malt lager with Wisconsin barley and hops. Perfectly balanced and easy to drink, it is your ideal first-round selection. Find Green Bay Draft Beer at Stillmake Brewing or anywhere great beer is sold. Making a stop at Stillmake's Tap Room? You can also try their other fresh taps, along with Wisco Hard Seltzer, Glass Apple Ciders, and Honeymoon Mead. Celebrate an historic day in Green Bay with Stillmake Brewing's draft beer.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Have you noticed that Donald Trump's position on Ukraine seems to change daily? We break it all down for you at 2:30 with Dr. Liana Fix from the Council on Foreign Relations. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening today. Happy days to us all. You can be a big part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board, as always. Thank you, Jess. And jazzed as hell, my co-host for the day, our friend Earl Ingram from the Earl Ingram Show. You can check him out 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, the morning shift. Earl, welcome, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well, my friend. You know, I had a I don't know what day was it, man. I don't know. It might have been Monday or Tuesday. There was a rally in Racine. And, man, it must have been 150 people with signs and protests. Man, the old throwback stuff, man.
You felt right at home.
And, well, yeah, man, because I was probably one of the youngest people there.
And, that's saying something, man.
And, man, they were organized with these signs. Mm. And we were on the plaza in Racine, and I was the keynote speaker.
Oh, nice. And what was the what were you protesting? What was it about? What were you trying to get across?
It was about Donald Trump, man. Yeah. These people had organized 4 years ago to protest Donald Trump. Mm. And so after Donald Trump lost his election, they kind of went away. But they've come back in stronger. It was really just unbelievable to see all of those people organized, fighting with signs, blocking the streets, man. Hey, and they weren't college students.
Right,
they were the great-great-grandparents of college
students. Wow. And
yeah, spectacular, man.
Well, that's great to hear, Earl. I love it. And there's definitely some reason to get out and protest. There were some protests at Trump Tower today as well. We will get to that.
Trump Tower?
Yeah, Trump Tower, man. Apparently, a lot of these folks had issue with, you know, Trump pointing his finger and arresting the student with a green card.
Oh, man. We got to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to go there as well. And, of course, we've got to talk about the debate last night, the Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate debate. Brad Schimmel, Susan Crawford. We're going to go there as well. But as we've done over the last several shows, and thank you folks for putting up with my absence yesterday. Thank you, Jess, and of course, our pal Matt Rothschild, Angela Lang, filling in yesterday prior to Civic Media's coverage of this event. The Marcus, man, let's just talk about the closing bell as we stand. I don't know, maybe it's just when I'm on the radio, because Marcus didn't do terrible yesterday, but today again, they're sliding once again. Bear with me briefly here. Here's the update from CNBC. Stocks fell on Thursday with equities unable to shake a three-week market rout under the weight of new tariff threats from President Donald Trump. The S&P 500 dropped 1.39%. That index ended the day in correction, 10.1% off its record close. Yeesh. The Dow Jones fell 1.3%, marking its fourth day of declines. The NASDAQ composite shed almost 2%, with shares like Tesla and Apple being lower. Now, Trump took to his Truthy Social platform on Thursday, to threaten 200% tariffs on all alcohol products coming from countries in the EU in retaliation for their 50% tariff on whiskey. 50%? I'll raise it 200, Earl. I mean, because 100 wasn't enough and 300 was too much? I mean, how does a guy come up with this?
He's got a dartboard and he just throws things at it and he just sees what happens, you know?
Let's see. As CNBC reports, the disorderly rollout, as that's one way to put it, of Trump's U.S. trade policies rattled markets, with investors worried it was pressuring corporate and consumer confidence. Yes, it is. Losses have intensified this week. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ are respectively on track for losses of 4.3 and 4.9% week to date. That's this week. The Dow is off about 4.7% this week, tracking for its worst week since June of 22. Now, the NASDAQ was already well into correction territory heading into Thursday's session and now sits at more than 14% below its recent record. The Russell 2000 small cap benchmark is approaching a bear market, roughly down 19% from its high. 19%. Now, on Wall Street, corrections are defined as losses of 10% and bear markets are drawdowns of 20%. Those are big numbers. And, you know, we also like to look at the volatility, the VIX up almost 3% today. So there's the update, the closing bell. And it's amazing, Earl, to hear some of these Republicans talk about, oh, this is good. This is what we want. And granted, you know, you don't lose until if you're involved, if you have a mutual fund or own individual stocks. You don't lose it until you sell it. You know what I mean? It can always come back around. And unless you're trying to play the peak and valleys, and of course, most investors don't want suggest that you don't do that. Most financial advisors would suggest not doing that. You don't lose it until you sell off. But knowing that, you know, some of these indexes are down, you know, pushing 20%, Earl, I don't know, and I've specifically heard today as I was driving to the studio, MSNBC running some cuts of Donald Trump during the election, Earl. Oh, on day one, we're going to lower prices. On day one, it's going to be a great economy. On day one, day one, day one. And, of course, it's long past day one, and the Republicans continue to give this man cover for which is seemingly, as just mentioned, you know, throwing darts at a board. You raise us 50, we'll raise you 200. Where do we go from there, Earl?
You know, Dominic, I have a very sage co-host during the week named Sandy Williams. He's a guy who graduated cum laude from Harvard. He is an economist, a top economist, nationally renowned. And Sandy used to always tell me, Dominic, over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, I would say, hey, recession's coming. And Sandy said, no, not going to be a recession. And he would always say it. And every time I would see, because I would always predicate recession on what I used to see as a young man when I worked in the auto industry and we saw recession come and it meant layoffs.
Right.
And it meant the economy slowed down and everything slowed down. And so the last 4 or 5 years, I've been talking with Sandy. Sandy would say, no recession, no recession. I said, well, come on, Sandy, everybody's pretty, no recession, no recession. You know what Sandy's saying now?
No, don't tell me, man.
The recession is coming.
It's coming.
Yeah, man. And Sandy has been 100%, he's been accurate. Dominic, even in the face of others who were saying something different. So, you know, Sandy's advice is very sage, and we're going to talk about it on tomorrow. But the recession is inevitable now. And Joe Biden and his regime did everything they could to hold off recession. There hasn't been a recession since 2007. But when you now, Dominic, bring the conversation of recession at a time with the instability of a man and his policies, the damage, and because we're talking global, because his chain of events brought this down, Dominic.
Yes.
I know. Come on, man. It's one thing to have a recession that happens, but this didn't have to happen.
Yes. These are actions, very specific actions that can be tied back to the words and deeds and actions of this administration that has been in power for, you know, less than a couple of months. I mean, these can be tied directly back. I mean, I don't want to hear from all the megas out there, oh, this is Joe Biden's economy. It's like, come on,
man.
Yeah,
that's what they're saying, man.
I mean, of course they're saying it, but it makes zero sense. If the president can produce executive orders and do tariffs and have people fired, and those things immediately impact the marketplace, well, welcome. It's now your administration. This is now your economy. Because he could do different things. He could pull back. He could walk back this threat, these discussions of tariffs. Hell, Earl, he so very boldly and powerfully and proudly renegotiated NAFTA, right? The USMCA. Yes. And now, as we operate under his renegotiated USMCA, he has a huge problem with what he renegotiated with at the USMCA. Well, if Donald Trump has a problem with Donald Trump, I don't know who else is going to fix that except for Donald Trump. So we could, you know, go back to the negotiating table, go back and once again renegotiate the USMCA. If that's what you want to do, if that's your effort, why not just go do that? Why play these games back and forth with Canada and Mexico? Now the EU, that's firing up. Well, you know, and this whole thought that this activity, and we've heard his press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, tell us, Earl, lie to our faces that tariffs, Earl, did you know tariffs are a tax cut? This is Biden's fault, and tariffs are a tax cut, and there's nothing to see here, Earl. This is what this administration is trying to sell to the American people, who are very, very fully starting to realize that perhaps this isn't what they voted for.
The great and powerful Wizard of Oz. Yeah. You know, man, he really, you know, I'm hearing him say, Joe Biden left us with a bad economy. Hey, man, what are you talking about, man? Some of us remember. It was only a couple months ago, man.
Right.
The best economy in the world.
In the world.
It's what Joe Biden left.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, so MAGA people call and say, well, you know, early inflation was 9%. No, when Joe Biden left, it was down to 3%. Well, you know, Joe Biden, well, maybe you guys forgot about COVID. It was a global economy. It was a global recession. I mean, inflation. And Joe Biden and the United States did a better job than any of the other nations.
Yes. And some of those efforts were bipartisan, Earl.
Yes. We were headed in the right direction. But what I'm so frightened about the most, Dominic, is people who are going to be hurt by this. All of us are going to be hurt by it. But the people who voted for him, many rural people, the farmers and those people are going to get it the worst. And those are the people who said Joe Biden hurt them and forgot about them. They have to live with that now, Dominic. That, you know, they made the wrong choice.
Well, you know, if the eye of Sauron, you know, pays attention to you, maybe you don't want that attention. Maybe you're better off under a guy like Joe Biden. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Jazzed as hell, my co-host for the day, Earl Ingram, going to stick around for the entirety of the show. We got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. We're going to get to your calls and your texts coming up very soon. Also, we're going to have to run some highlights. Just did the hard work, so you don't have to. We got some cut-ups of the Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate debate from last night. Stick around. Join us, 855-752-4842.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Ready.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Fifth Ward Brewing Company in Oshkosh, New Denmark Brewing, Duck Creek Distillery and Winery in Denmark, and Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. Drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Hey, Green Bay! Looking for a place to unwind with amazing drinks?
You've got to check out Timekeeper Distillery on Holmgren Way. They craft one-of-a-kind creative cocktails to sip on-site or grab to go.
Oh, and the menu. It has delicious, mouth-watering bites that'll leave you wanting more. Ever tried a deviled egg flight? It's a game-changer.
And hey, if you're a fan, Timekeeper's in the mix with WGBW's Top Draft promo, so you know you're getting the best.
Get yourself to Timekeeper Distillery.
Trust us. Your taste buds will thank you.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. working on the board. Got Earl Ingram co-hosting today. You can check his show out Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Earl, for doing so. And coming around, talking, wrap up the closing bell discussions, as Kevin Bacon said in Animal House, remain calm. Everything's fine. Earl, right here in the state of Wisconsin, we have we had a debate last night. We have an election coming up April 1st for the next justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Brad Schimmel, Susan Crawford going toe-to-toe last night, Earl. We do have some of the sound, some of the highlights that we're going to play for our audience, Earl, but I just want to get your sense of how you think that went last night and what do you think is going to happen here in the next couple of weeks.
So let me say this, man. You know, I listened to Brad Schimmel, or AKA Elmer Fudd. I heard him on conservative talk radio yesterday before the debate, and he was all in on everything conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You can't mistake me it being anything other than a shill for whatever the conservatives want, and nonstop. But what happened to Donald Trump in 2020 was not right. And then when he was on television, he was a changed man. He's reasonable. Oh, you can't hold me to the. Well, maybe other people didn't get what I got to see or hear because I heard him on radio. And then on television, he was a different guy. I can tell you, Dominic, whenever I see you, I don't care where it is or how long it's in between, Dominic is always the same guy. Whenever you see me, I'm always
yes.
You have to be leery. Of some, am I right, Dominic?
Absolutely, Earl.
And you don't want that kind of person as a Supreme Court justice because you don't know, he's a chameleon. You don't know who he's, well, we do know who he's going to be. But last night he tried to make it appear as though he was a moderate kind of guy and balanced and all those kind of things. But I will say this, man, Crawford was, man, she was strong. And man, it was so good to see. I had her on several weeks ago, and I didn't know her at the time, and I didn't know she was as strong a person and personality. But last night, she showed just how strong a personality she was. Now, she was up against a wimp, so maybe that helped, right?
It certainly does. It certainly does. Earl, you know, you make a great point, and I appreciate it. I'll take it as a compliment. I'll give you the same one back, man. As long as I've known you, you've been the same awesome human being that I met the first day. And I think that consistency is something that goes to character, man, because, you know, you're not acting. I'm not acting. This right. is who we are. It's really easy for us. And for whether or not we're going to be speaking to, what, a conservative radio crowd, you know, the mega crowd, you know, we're going to be the same, or if we're talking to a television crowd, which, of course, would not be as partisan as right-wing talk radio. You know, it's the same, but not, to you point out, not Brett Schimmel. Absolutely not. We know what he says on the recordings. You know, we already know that he wants to be a support team for this administration. We know, based on his comments, what happened to Trump in 2020 was terrible. What, he lost an election? Yep. No, man. He's suggesting that somehow this election was stolen from Donald Trump. Those kinds of, that's who Brad Schimmel is. This is a guy, Brad Schimmel, who left those untested rape kits. We played some Attorney General Josh Call recently here from video of his observations when he was running against Brad Schimmel. Brad Schimmel is a guy who, you know, spent thousands and thousands of dollars making up these bunk stupid coins, KAED, kicking ass every day, and gave them out because that's what he does. He kicks ass every day. If you ask him, I mean, if you got to sit there and tell people that you're kicking ass every day, maybe you're not really kicking ass every day. But don't take my word for it. We got one cut. We'll start with this, and we'll get some other ones. Go cut one, if you would, please. Susan Crawford.
You know, I think a lot is at stake, the future of our state for our kids and our grandkids, and the fundamental rights and freedoms of everyone in Wisconsin. I've worked throughout my career to protect the rights of Wisconsinites and keep our community safe, first as a prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice, then as an attorney representing the rights of ordinary Wisconsinites in our courts, and now as a judge on the circuit court. Where every day I make sure that I'm making common sense decisions, protecting the rights of the parties in front of me under our laws, and making sure that everyone gets their day in court. I'm running to be a fair, impartial justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and to protect the rights of Wisconsinites from that statewide venue. I think that is what this race is all about.
Susan Crawford, her opening arguments, her statement. Now, we don't have time in this segment to come back with Brad Schimmel, but you got to stick around for it because let me just tell you, he's very concerned, Earl, about the court becoming politically motivated. And Brad Schimmel will be the one who is impartial and unattached to any other person or party. I don't know if I believe that, Earl, again, considering he was already cheerleading for the Trump administration wanting to be a support beacon for him.
Hey, Dominic, isn't this the guy that Scott Walker appointed? Ding, 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 ding. Come on, man.
He was attorney general under Scott Walker, and then he got the DEI promotion, Earl. You know, middle-aged white guy failing upwards, Scott Walker on the way out the door appoints him to a judgeship in Waukesha just so they could lay the groundwork for this kind of activity from Brad Schimmel wanting to get himself elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We'll let Brad Schimmel speak for himself on the other side, plus more of that sound. Stick around. I got Earl Ingram joining me today. Jess is on the lines as well. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be right back.
.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court debated last night in their one and only debate. Here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
WYSN political reporters Matt Smith and Jaron Jordan moderated the briskly paced hour-long debate at Marquette Law School. The candidates debated issues including the state's 1849 abortion ban, which is currently before the court. Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel says the 1849 state law remains valid.
No judge or justice should be deciding this issue for the voters of Wisconsin. Should it be decided by the voters, or should it be decided by four justices and a majority on the court?
Dane County Judge Susan Crawford previously worked as an attorney for Planned Parenthood.
Well, I'm proud of the work that I did as a lawyer. I was standing up in court fighting for the rights of women and their doctors to make those decisions, those critical decisions about health care.
The role of outside money in the race was also debated by the candidates last night. Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel was asked about Elon Musk funding of his campaign.
Outside help that comes is not something I control. It is expensive and it's difficult to get your message out on the airwaves to all the voters of Wisconsin. But there's a difference here. My opponent was supported by George Soros.
Schimmel said Soros is dangerous. Dane County Judge Susan Crawford on Musk.
He has now spent over $10 million on my opponent's race. He has basically taken over Brad Schimmel's campaign. He's got paid canvassers who are knocking on doors, handing out flyers that say, support the Trump agenda, put Brad Schimmel on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Early voting begins next Tuesday.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Dolly Parton told Oprah Winfrey that she thought she would be a great mother. Parton elaborated, saying she and her recently deceased husband, Carl Thomas Dean, ultimately decided not to have kids because Parton wanted the freedom to pursue her career and be a mother to all children. That is so Dolly Parton. Parton said at one point they even had a name picked out if they had a girl, but decided against it. I'm guessing it was Dolly Jr.? Billy Joel is putting his health before his tour. The 75-year-old music icon has wisely chosen to postpone working the road so he can rehab after a recent medical procedure. Joel's camp says he will take 4 months away from performing to get his health back. Joel expects to make a full recovery and will resume his tour in Pittsburgh on July 5th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 40s. Breezy tomorrow with a mix of sun and clouds and a high in the mid 60s. Some showers and storms tomorrow night that will mix in with snow Saturday and windy with falling temperatures. Sunday, sunny but colder, high low 40s. Right now it's 58.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Friday's show, we'll welcome Mark Houston with Bell and Sports Medicine and Steve Brandis with Wisconsin Herd, plus live music with McKenna May and Jake Allen in our Heights Pub and Parlor live music series.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Just PS working hard. Earl Ingram co-hosting with me today. You can check his show out 8 to 10 a.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are highlighting the debate from last night, Susan Crawford versus Scott Walker's lackey, Brad Schimmel. I mean, when you got to rely your career on Scott Walker, man, you know what I mean? It kind of says everything. But we did play, and I want to, you know, do equal time-ish here, the opening arguments. We heard Susan Crawford, our rights are at stake. I got into the race to be a fair and impartial justice. Yeah, well, why did Brad Schimmel get in the race? So he can be a lackey for Trump, just like he was for Scott Walker? Well, he didn't quite say that, but I'm wondering, Earl, how this compares to what you heard him say earlier in the day on Right Wing Talk Radio. Let's hear what Brad Schimmel had to say.
It's critical in our constitutional republic that the political branches do the politics. The legislature makes the law, the executive enforces it. Sorry to do the high school civics, but I think some people need to know this. The judiciary doesn't get involved in the politics. The judiciary approaches cases objectively. I do that every day in my courtroom. When I put on the black robe, I'm like an umpire in baseball. I'm not rooting for any team. I am rooting for the law to prevail in that court. I'm going to look at the facts objectively. You know, judges take a different oath than other public officials, because other public officials, just like judges and justices, we swear to uphold and defend the Constitution. Judges have an added part where we swear that we will administer justice without regard to persons. That doesn't mean we don't care about people. What it means is that it doesn't matter who the person in front of us is. Justice is blind. Justice is no longer blind on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That's what's at stake. We have to restore objectivity.
Brad Schimmel is the umpire in his black robe. Man, it reminds me of like Leslie Nielsen from Naked Gun. Steve! Right. And when the crowd claps and he keeps doing it more and more and more, and then he's finally calling strikes before the ball is even pitched. That is probably more of an apt description of Brad Schimmel. If you didn't know the guy, Earl, it sounds like, wow, yeah, that's almost seems logical. But we know him. We know better than that, don't we, Earl?
You know, Dominic, I hope people don't take this the wrong way, but white men speak with forked tongue. hey man, so here he is. You know, yesterday on Conservative Squawk Radio, he's talking about the fact George Soros, she's taking money from George Soros. George Soros, the guy who wants to defund the police, and it's just the fact we can't have anybody on the Supreme Court who wants to defund the police. And I'm like, man, come on with that, man. This is what he was saying before there was even the debate, Dominic, but that didn't surprise me, because he's always talked like that, man.
Yeah.
That's who he is. I mean, that's really who he is. But then he turns around and he comes on during the evening and says, they shouldn't be playing politics. She's playing politics. Man, come on.
If you're spewing it, you're doing it, as our pal Tom from L.A. likes to say. All right, another couple of cuts here from the debate last night. The question. You both recently put out attack ads on the other candidate for being, quote-unquote, soft on crime. As the court doesn't deal with matters on common crime, why have you made such a prominent part of your campaign? And Earl, we've talked recently, the other day I talked with Angela Lang about this as well. And, you know, this is, you know, as these ads are rolled out, you know, it makes it seem like, oh, these justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they're going to, you know, decide the guilt or innocence of someone. That's not what they do. That's not the thing they do. So let's hear what Susan Crawford had to say on that, please.
I think that voters deserve to know what our records are. And I worked as a statewide prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice
taking cases all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court and making sure that our communities were safe. I'm proud of the work that I did as a prosecutor, and I'm proud of the work that I did later representing Wisconsinites in our courtrooms, protecting their health care rights, protecting their voting rights, and protecting their rights in the workplace. I don't shy away from that record. I am proud of the work that I've done. And I think it is important for voters to know about Brad Schimel's record, too. He's the one who, as Attorney General, because he was pursuing other partisan right-wing lawsuits, like trying to take health care away from people, left over 6,000 sexual assault kits, the kits that may contain the DNA that can identify the perpetrators of those crimes. He failed to get them tested for years. And in a period of over 2 years, he only got 9 kits out of 6,000 tested. And then he lied about it. He told the press that he had had hundreds of kits tested. That was wrong. Earlier, he'd said, oh, there is no backlog, when indeed there was a backlog. So I think it's important for the voters to understand not only that Brad Schimel failed to take care of that top public safety priority, left those victims, who were mainly women and children, waiting for years while he pursued things like trying to overturn the legal protections that people have when they have pre-existing health conditions, to not allow health insurance executives to take away their coverage.
Susan Crawford, lighten up the record of Brad Schimel. You know, and it's kind of, you know, it's been a while since, and I'm so glad that she brought it up, but I'm glad that Attorney General Josh Call reminded us of all of this recently. Brad Schimel was too busy doing other things, right? He was too, is he the one who hired Misha Tetzlin? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they went after the Affordable Care Act. They prioritized issues other than the rape kits. And I'm not surprised, and no doubt we knew it was going to come up. As I read through some of the reporting, one of the things I saw from Brad Schimel's very, 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 very first ad, 4,000 rape kits tested. You knew he got out of him. You knew this was going to be an issue trying to get in front of it. And maybe eventually you got there, man. But your priority wasn't that at the time, and this is the most basic job of an attorney general, Earl. He failed, and as Susan Crawford points out, he lied about it afterward.
Man, you know what's so frightening to me about all of this is, you know, you hear people say that I voted for Donald Trump, I made a mistake. Sometimes, I mean, not MAGA people, but others who did, right?
Yeah.
And then you turn around and you look at this race and it's a dead heat. And you say, didn't the people learn any? Why would you? Look, man, the Republicans had control over the state Supreme Court for over 10 years. We saw what they did with that, Dominic. It's only been, what, a year since Democrats wound up? Maybe what? Yeah,
about a little over a year. Yeah.
Okay. And so we've seen some changes that are beneficial to all of us on the state level. In just 1 year, we've seen the changes. With the people who are now in Madison, because now the truth is starting to come out and people can have the representatives that they want.
Yeah, the gerrymander. I mean, that was, yes, if there's, yes, a huge consequence to a conservative Supreme Court, they will once again gerrymander. They'll find it. It's totally fine. It's fine if you do it. No worries. No big deal. And then they'll try to, you know, bake in the cake another 10 years of Republican, yes, rule here in the state of Wisconsin.
Which we can't take. We can't afford it.
No, man. That is not okay. That is not representative. And these are the kind of games that the Republicans are playing. And if you challenge it, and it was eventually overturned once Protasiewicz got in there, it was obvious, man. It went up to the Supreme Court. They just didn't have a formula to determine how bad of a political gerrymander is too bad of a political gerrymander. Well, that's not the right answer. So they kick it back, and now we finally rectified that. And we go back to Brad Schimel getting in there, man. They will try to do that again. Guaranteed. They do not want, and they cannot have, equal representation. They will lose, and they know that.
You know, Dominic, and And my fear is that many across this state, far too many, still in the face of what's happening on a national level, we can't afford to have this on the state level too, Dominic, right?
Again.
We can't fight the, yeah, right. Again. But I mean, on top of the national,
yeah.
What's happening on the national level. If we can at least have control over what happens in our state, we can weather some of the storms, Dominic. But to not have, but them to have control over us, over the state, at the same time they're ruling the nation, we're checkmated, man.
No, don't worry. You know what I mean? We got Tony Evers in the breach, man.
well,
come okay. on, Tony. That's hey, man, I get, you know, Tony, really, man, he's the only one that has the position. He's in the position to at least, you know, delay
hold
of these. Yeah, man, yeah. For sure. Susan Crawford talking about Brad Schimmel, these soft on crime discussions. And after we play this clip, I want to get your sense on this. Let's play the following Susan Crawford ad, please. Cut,
you know, Brad Schimmel has given dozens of people convicted of crimes like domestic violence, sexual assaults, and abuse of children short jail sentences or no jail sentences, and those offenders have gone on to reoffend. I'll stand by the cases. They have focused between him and Elon Musk. They have focused on two cases out of thousands that I've handled where I sentenced people to prison and then followed that with several years of extended supervision. Those two people are still on supervision. They have not committed any new crimes, and they will be on the sex offender registry for the rest of their lives. So I think that voters need to focus on Brad Schimmel's record. He is somebody who has blamed victims, said things like with child sexual assaults, that the child was responsible because she went to a party, or
it
is not a lie.
Do you have the transcript?
It was a first date situation. He has let people go and they have reoffended. That has not happened in the cases that they're highlighting of mine.
Let me ask about these.
If I can also just respond to his claim that I wasn't a prosecutor. I was a statewide prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice. I handled both county level prosecutions of healthcare fraud and patient abuse, and I also took cases to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Those are cases that are the most relevant for service on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, cases that involve the development of the law and the kinds of legal arguments that you have to consider when you're making decisions that are going to involve statewide precedent that every prosecutor in the county, in the state rather, will be bound by.
All right, so Crawford's responding to Schimmel saying that she had never been a prosecutor. But I guess my point, and I want to get your opinion on, is this: these wannabe justices going back and forth on who was tougher on crime. Is that a worthwhile discussion in your opinion, Earl?
Well, it works, man. As I had Mandela Barnes on today, it is the reason why Mandela Barnes is not a senator today. United States Senator. They use the same tactics that they're using against, you know, Judge Crawford, that they use on Mandela Barnes. You know, she's not tough on crime. She's allowing, I mean, you just watch this stuff over and over. And then when she pointed out what he did, and it turns out he's a guy who was soft on. Come on, man. You know what I mean? I mean, it's too much, Dominic.
And he has specifically stated, and he's on the record saying he wants to be a support mechanism for the Trump administration. He wants to be there. They need a support group. And what did Donald Trump do? He pardoned all the J6 insurrectionists, man, that were beating the hell out of cops, bear spraying, beating them with American flags and spears and clubs and their fists and throwing bottles and fire extinguishers. Oh, for Donald Trump and apparently Brad Schimmel, fine with all that. They could be pardoned. You know, that's in his purview, but I'm tough on crime. Don't be tough on the Dom Salvo Show. Earl Ingram joining us today. Just PS on the lines, 855-752-4842. Just a little bit more from the highlights of last night's Wisconsin Supreme Court justice debate.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government
buy-in for the people. More Trump administration mass layoffs at CISA have experts raising concerns over U.S. readiness for cyber attacks on election infrastructure and federal agency networks. An additional 100 in-house and contracted cyber specialists were reportedly terminated in March. The terminations raised the number of layoffs at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency to an estimated 300, though new CISA leadership has denied recent layoffs. As we reported in February, a team assisting state election officials in improving and hardening election systems was laid off. VoteBeat reported March 11th that CISA's new leadership informed state election officials that it had suspended operations and funding for the Election Infrastructure Information Sharing and Analysis Center. In addition, a McCarthy-like effort is underway to purge CISA staffers who ran 2020 efforts to combat foreign and domestic disinformation in social media, some concocted by the Trump campaign and its allies. Reports in cybersecurity journals say that the latest layoffs involve so-called red teams, which pressure test the security of government networks. CBS News quoted one cybersecurity expert let go in February as saying about U.S. networks, "We're being targeted daily, hourly, and every single minute." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Just PS working the board. Earl Ingram co-hosting with me today. You folks lining up, 855-752-4842. We have just a couple more clips I want to play from the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate last night. But, Jess, we have this from, you know, a few days ago. So long ago. Remember? So we played the initial, like, opening statements of Brad Schimmel. The court's become politically motivated. It needs to be impartial and unattached to any person or party. He's going to be the one to save us all. But let's remember what he said not so long ago, please, Jess.
Absolutely.
Donald Trump doesn't do this by himself. There has to be a support network around him. And that, you know, they filed over 70 lawsuits against him since he took the oath of office barely a month ago. Over 70 lawsuits to try to stop almost every single thing he's doing because they don't want him to get a win. They're so desperate for him to not get a win that they won't let America have a win.
Oh, God.
That's what they're doing. And the only way we're going to stop that is if the courts stop it. That's the only place to stop this lawfare.
Lawfare. No, it kind of contradicts what he said last night at the debate. And I would just digress, Earl. Perhaps there wouldn't be all these lawsuits filed against the president if he didn't have, you know, put out these unconstitutional executive orders and instead actually did things through the legislature, which you're supposed to do. But he wants to push the envelope. Well, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to push back as well. They should. Your thoughts on the apparent hypocrisy of this man, Earl?
Well, you know, first off, Dominic, Republicans always talking about Donald Trump getting a win. What is this? Major League Baseball.
Right.
I mean, so what do you mean getting a win? What does that mean, Dominic? To you? I mean, this is bigger than that foolishness. These are people's lives, man, and decisions that they are making, impacting families long term, putting people out of work, hurting families, man, doing things that are destabilizing the world. And he's talking about Donald Trump getting a win.
A win.
Yeah, man. Hey, he's a supreme. He would be a Supreme Court justice. He's not supposed to be talking about the president of the United States getting a win, man. Right? I mean, why? That shouldn't be his focus whatsoever. I haven't heard one Democratic state Supreme Court justice talk about Joe Biden getting the win.
Right. That is a great point. No, not at all.
Come on, man.
Not at all. You don't hear, oh, we gotta be a support team. We gotta support Joe Biden. You didn't hear that.
No, man.
And even
you shouldn't hear it.
No, you shouldn't. And even if you could interpret, even if you can read between the lines, you know what? They're not verbally like out there, like just like Donald Trump, Brad Schimmel is telling you who he is.
Yes.
He's telling you. And if to your point, that this whole win mentality, whatever the hell that means, if a win for this president means the tearing down of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, you know, these institutions that we have dedicated ourselves to, so we don't have, you know, old women and young children starving in the streets, so we can pay for tax cuts for billionaires? If that's the win, I don't want him to get a win.
No, man. I don't
Come
want him
on.
To get a win either, man.
All right. One final question. Can you provide examples of a case where you decided something that your supporters wouldn't like or that angered them? Let's start with Mr. Brad Schimmel. Have you ever done that, Brad?
Judge Schimmel, give me an example. As a time, as a judge, you made a decision that angered your supporters.
I don't recall. I recall people. I'm sorry, I don't have an example of a case that angered supporters.
I am so awesome and under the thumb of right-wing talk radio Donald Trump and my former boss, Scott Walker. Remember, this guy is a Scott Walker lackey. Just if that doesn't tarnish it just a little bit, I'm just saying. He's awesome. You know, I think Brad Schimmel, if I could kind of paraphrase what he's just said, is that, you know, my biggest fault is I care too much. Let's hear an actual answer from Judge Susan Crawford, please.
So I had a lawsuit before me in the circuit court in which the current attorney general was trying to get laws thrown out that were enacted in the lame duck period after Brad Schimmel lost re-election as attorney general and Governor Scott Walker lost re-election as Attorney General. Between them and then and their leaving office, they enacted laws that stripped the Attorney General of many of the Attorney General's powers and authority. And a lawsuit was brought into my court that challenged several of those changes. And I rejected most of them. I did issue a narrow ruling that found that a part of those changes were unconstitutional, but the rest of them I threw out.
Yeah, and that was the whole lame duck, the sore losers. They went through and tried to strip power from Evers and the AG, and she had this in front. If you were to believe that she's in the pocket or of George Soros and is all going to do anything that all the lefties want, well, she certainly would not have ruled that way, Earl.
You know, Dominic, as I stated before, very much impressed with her. She'll make a strong, strong justice. You pair her with the other strong women who don't have to back, you know, can you imagine if Scott Walker was the governor with those women as the Supreme Court justices, you know, knowing how weak he was?
They would not have gone his way. Yeah. They know something about politicized Supreme Courts because it was that under the Republicans and Scott Walker. Come back with us. More Earl, more JSPS, 855-752-4842. Is our right to free speech under attack, and will the government shut down? Come back with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Wisconsin Supreme Court debate between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel. We will break it all down with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
When it comes to pet costume contests, I am right there. And if you feel the same as I do, then hey, I'm Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you. And that's St. Patrick's Day at Vital Essentials Dog Park on Friday, March 14th from 4 till 6 p.m. It's a free event where you can bring your furry companion dressed up in their St. Patrick's Day best. And don't worry your furry little ears about your human companion, because there's going to be some beer and light snacks for them. They're also collecting unopened donations for the Wisconsin Humane Society in Green Bay, so check it out by going to WGBW.FM and clicking events.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Tariff troubles leading to another sell-off day for stocks and driving concerns for businesses and consumers. May think that they may end up with a tab on everything from cars, lumber, and now alcohol. President Trump says he'll hike tariffs on liquor imports from Europe.
Now, Trump says that this is going to be good for the winemaking, spirit-making industry in the U.S., but industry trade groups say that this is going to harm their businesses, and the best way to get their industry to flourish is zero-to-zero tariffs, and it is going to hit consumers as well. We are the largest importer of wine and other spirits from Europe.
ABC's Selena Wang. The White House directing the FBI to stop background checks for dozens of President Trump's top staffers and transferred the process to the Pentagon. That, according to sources familiar with the matter, who told ABC News. Democratic Congressman Raul Grijalva of Arizona has died. His office confirmed his passing today after a long battle with cancer. He was 77. This is ABC News.